Begin with a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you that we can come here together this morning to look into your word and pray that you would be working in our hearts. And thank you for the songs we're able to sing and the words we're able to hear out of your word. And I just pray that you would be near us, and just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'd like to talk about putting on the armor. In Ephesians chapter 6, we often think of the verse 12. I'd like to, beginning in the chapter, and think about how can we get to the point where we can put on the armor. And I think it's really foundational that we, as children, we obey our parents, honoring father and mother. And it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Servants, to be obedient to masters, serving the Lord in singleness of heart, doing the will of God from the heart. Things like that, really, where we can, obviously, with Jesus' death on the cross, we can have salvation and we can begin to win the battle. So I'd like to begin in verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With all, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers, darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, in verse 10, wherever we find ourselves, maybe we're a child here this morning, parents, servants, a father, bond or free, or a master. God calls us to all to be strong in him. So it's one call to everybody. We must be abiding in Christ to be able to have that strength. In Acts 17, verse 28, says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poet said, for we are also his offspring. So we need to live in Christ, we need to move in Christ, and we need to be in Christ. It needs to be an all-consuming thing. God's desire for us as made in his image is to be strong for his glory. He wants people that are bringing glory to him. You see in the Bible when men and women of faith use God's strength to honor him. It was unlimited. Living in the power of his might. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." So we are not called to fear, but to power. God created us and designed the armor. Verse 11 here in Ephesians 6, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Side note in my Bible says the schemes of the devil, and we see him working that in our lives and people's lives around us, trying to bring us down. The word of truth. God created us and designed the armor that would work in our lives. If I put on my own armor, it fails, and I think the enemy is very glad if I try to put on my own armor. But when I start using God's word and humility and power through Christ, he really, really doesn't like that. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 7 says, "By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left." So having it beside us, in front of us, around us, the word of truth, the power of God, armor of righteousness on the right and the left, standing against evil, is where we're going to find victory. And in verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So we need to remember that people are not the enemy. It's easy to, we see the person that is in front of us, and maybe they're tempting us to lust or anger or bitterness, pride, whatever it is. And we see that person and we can feel like we need to take it out on the person, but we need to remember that people are not the enemy. When we fight against people, especially carnally, think of people going to war, guns and battle, we lose the real battle. As followers of Jesus' example, we choose to stand against the principalities and powers of darkness. It says we wrestle. And so it says we, I believe, some choose to, some choose not to. Some choose to give free way to the enemy in their lives. And if we do that, the battle's already lost. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26, it says, "And the servant of Christ, of the Lord, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So, we are not to quarrel. I think if we choose to use a loud argument, I don't think that's what the servant of the Lord is called to. It says they must not strive, but be gentle. And be ready to teach those that are captivated by Satan. By God's help, we can identify and avoid the spiritual hosts of wickedness that it talks about back in Ephesians here. this time of the year, especially with Halloween, a lot of people invite spiritual darkness into their homes and lives. They're pretty happy to put up those decorations, and I think a lot of people take it pretty lightly. But I was talking to somebody this week, and they know a family from Africa. It's very animistic, and so they were trying to explain what Halloween is, because it didn't make sense to them, because there they don't mess around with the darkness, and because they know there's witch doctors and things. And then you come to America and people are take it pretty lightly, and but then we do see the results in broken lives and things. When we put on the whole armor, we need to get rid of self. In verse 13 it says, take unto you the whole armor of God. And we could ask the question, how much of the armor are we willing to use? Because the more we want to put on, the more self we have to get rid of. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This armor is mighty through God, and God wants an able people. It takes God's interest to stand against evil, because our human nature is very quick to go along with the evil. In Ephesians 5, I'd like to read verses 14 through 18. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So, we need to be awake and living in the light of light Jesus gives us. We need to walk carefully. We need to live intentionally for the kingdom. And I think the need to not be foolish but wise is really important to make decisions based on wisdom, not just a what do I want to do at the very moment. Redeeming the time, not in self-interest, but seeking to understand and do God's revealed will, is the best way to stand against evil. Not being drunk in excess, which brings prodigality. I think we see that with people that choose to do that. It brings a lot of wastefulness, a lot of wasted time, a lot of discouragement, a lot of trouble. But being filled with the Spirit, when we hang on to a prodigal mentality, how can we stand in Christ at the same time? I don't think we can. In verse 14, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore. Are we standing, or are we falling for the things of this world? Is my waist girt about with truth? Is that what surrounds me? In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 5, it says, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Jesus came with truth as the belt of his waist. I can stand when God's truth has surrounded me. What are we choosing today to surround our minds with? It will affect what we do with temptation. I think it's really hard to picture surrounding ourselves with a lot of filth of the world and then expect that when temptation comes along to be able to say no. Is, I think, pretty, I forget what word I want. It wouldn't really be possible, it wouldn't really make any sense to think that we can do that. We need the breastplate of righteousness. In Isaiah 59, verse 16 and 17, says, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with the zeal as a cloak. God's arm brought salvation. Jesus is our righteousness. When we choose the breastplate of righteousness, we follow his example. The enemy wants us to use self-righteousness because that will fail. In the day of judgment, we need Jesus in our lives, and that's really the only thing that will protect us from day to day. In verse 15, it says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We prepare our feet to go where we want them to go. Have I prepared myself to share the gospel of peace? It takes a lot of preparation. In Isaiah 52, verse 7, says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, and bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. In God's eyes, it is a very beautiful thing to carry the good news of salvation. So if we take the good news of salvation to people, in a moment it can kind of feel like something that's not culturally fit or whatever, but it's really a beautiful thing in God's eyes. Jesus took very much time to make his disciples prepared to share the good news of salvation. In verse 16, say, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith takes practice through trials. Step out boldly, putting the shield of faith in front. It's through trusting God, because he never failed. We need to be born of God. In 1 John 5, verse 4, says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we can't overcome if we love the things of the world. Even if we wave our shield of faith, when we intentionally quench all the fiery darts, we become stronger. And I believe when we're set apart from the world, it's easier to identify the darts that are coming our way and to quench them. When good and evil mix in our hearts, it becomes really hard to, in our minds, it becomes really hard to quench the darts of the wicked. Verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Taking salvation through Jesus as a helmet. That way our head is protected. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for an helmet and hope, the hope of salvation. Being sober, I think Dad already mentioned that this morning, is really important. It's easy to not want to face the serious things in life and to just kind of pass things off as a joke, but being sober is really important. And intentionally accepting salvation, it is a sobering thought that Jesus died for my sins. And if I live in that reality, it changes the way that I live. And I can't live in that reality and just allow all the sin in my life. But if we doubt and completely lose hope in salvation, we've lost a helmet, and our head, the vulnerable, is unprotected. We need the Word of God to win the battles. In it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Let God's Spirit in our lives reveal His word to us to use as a two-edged sword. Praying always is really important. We can win the battles as God's word discerns my thoughts and intentions. God can use it for His work in my life. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying is the right response to each situation. It's easy to respond in other ways, but when we take time and pray, it really changes at least our outlook on situations. Prayer is not giving up. Prayer not giving up is God's will for us. With all prayer and supplication, coming before God with intentional requests, coming with a heart ready to receive, coming in the Spirit, we need to be watching. It says, watching thereunto. In Matthew 26, verse 41, we have the familiar story of how easy it is to, even in a really intense time, to allow the flesh to get in the way. Jesus told them, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And then in verse 43 it says, and he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Finishing out verse 41, it says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Do we pay attention so we don't fall into temptation? Or are we going to fall asleep? Don't lose ground in the Christian life. Rather, walk the road of perseverance. The consistency in my life could bless someone else in their path. I think we need to remember that in our day-to-day, that not to give up. Making intentional requests for other saints. I think we don't want to underrate simple faith and obedience. In Second Corinthians. Chapter 10, I want to read verses 3 through 6. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So in that time when we're feeling stronger, we need to remember to continue to dwell in the Word. That way we're ready when temptations come. So that's what I had to share. I want to win those battles, and I believe we all do, and day to day.